It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, let's head down to Lake Fork and check in with my buddy guide Seth Vanover. Seth's been down there on the crappie and putting that live scope to use. Seth, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Luke.
Let's talk some summer crappie fishing. And middle, end of June, it's definitely, we can qualify this period as summertime. You've been putting that live scope to good use. I talked with our buddy Stubby, who makes his catfish baits, you know, and he was singing the praises of that live scope because he said, I went out with Seth, and he said, I got to have one, Luke. I've got it ordered. That thing is kind of is a game changer, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it's got a learning curve like any other electronics, but you know, once you figure it out, and it's not that hard. I mean, that thing is 98% ready out of the box. It's plug and play.
You know, so
and I just kind of go ahead. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. You know, the thing is, Seth, a lot of I've noticed with a lot of electronic gizmos, for lack of a better term, they're back when electronics in all different forms was beginning to get popular, some of that stuff was hard. I remember a GPS unit that I never did figure out, and I spent 25 years as a surveyor, you know, but back then. But now it seems like you say, out of the box, most electronics, it seems to be way much easier. The learning curve is much quicker, you know?
It is, especially with the live scope. There's not a lot of interpretation, you know, like a side scan, side imaging and stuff like that. I mean, you pull up on a tree or a brush pile, you know it's a tree or a brush pile. And now, brush piles can be a little different on identifying fish, but it's what's neat about it. You can drop that jig or minnow right next to the brush pile, and then once you do that and you see the fish come out of the brush pile, that's how you learn to start picking them out in the brush pile. You know, okay, there's a fish in the brush pile. At first, you're going to be like, well, it's just a clump and there ain't no fish in it. Well, there is. You just got to look for that little glistening in there. You know, they're not going to be real bright like they will be on a piece of timber or something.
Mm-hmm.
Timber is easy. You can pick those things up. They look like a little moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they look like.
You mean like a dead tree with a bunch of old limb, you know, bigger limbs by timber? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I could see brush could be way different with well, you know, all the sticks and stuff, the leaves and, you know, the evergreens and, you know, bamboo and all that. Yeah, I could see that could be difficult. But what you're saying is once you use it a while and you see that little glint or whatever you're seeing on the scope, once you see it move and come out, you know that's what you learned what to look for, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's just the brush pile aspect of it. You know, the other 99% of the time, you know, I'm on timber, and I can pull up to a tree and tell you within 2 seconds if we're going to fish it. You know, and it's more of an efficient tool than anything.
Yep.
You know, you can just start down a tree line, and that's it. Oh, we're going to stop at that tree and go over there and catch those 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 fish sitting on it and move to the next.
Boy, that really revolutionizes the way that many of us, you know, I never was one to take a bucket of minnows and set on the spot that I caught fish on 2 weeks ago and stay. But I'll tell you, and I know everybody listening can relate to this, and you too, Seth, I fish with people that'll go to that one tree that's been so productive. Now, I'm talking about, you know, not recently, but it was the old school way of fishing for crappie. Stay there, and they'll come through now. Just hang in there. But it was hard for me to hang 2 hours without getting a bite. Now those days are, they're over,
they're
aren't
gone.
They? You know, yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's some downfalls to it. There are a ton of crappie that are getting caught that wouldn't be caught in the past. So this is my opinion. I don't know if it's true, but I think within 5 years, you'll see some limit changes. I really do. So we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. Again,
yep.
That live scope doesn't make them bite, but it is sure effective and efficient. There's just a ton of crappie that would not be getting caught without it. So,
yep.
That's just my opinion.
Yep. You know, I'm still haven't had an opportunity to get in the boat with you, Seth, and see this thing in action, but I've talked to you enough to where I think I've got a kind of a pretty good handle. There's a grid of sorts that you say that you, in other words, if you pull up to a tree, is there a grid that you can look at actually and say, well, these increments are 1 yard or 1 foot out from this trunk of the tree and so deep. Is that the way it works or not?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, on the screen, a lot of people, and I do this, I leave a grid on my screen. Now, I've got my depth set in a certain depth, but it's in 5 foot increments. I can point a tree, you know, 5 foot out or 15 feet out in front of the boat, and the fish will be 6 feet deep or 12 feet deep, and I can pinpoint exactly where they're at.
So,
and there's no casting and guessing and none of that.
So you can drop the jig. Say there is a fish 6 foot out from the side of the boat, say, and then 12 feet deep. You could count down 12 feet of line, and then are you watching your bait on the grid?
Yes, most of the time, yes. I can watch my jig go down and spook a fish. I can feel my jig actually hit a fish when he takes off.
Wow. Now, that's cutting edge right there, buddy, I tell you. And a lot of people, do you see a lot of folks right now using the live scopes?
More and more. I really am. It's, you know, from a guide standpoint, I'm going to give it probably 2 years, and that's probably going to be one of the prerequisite questions when somebody calls.
Do you have one?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I believe that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, right now it's pretty easy. You can go out to brush piles and catch a bunch of crappie and get on the timber and catch a bunch of crappie. But when it gets tough in the July and August times, not so much July, but August, it sometimes can get tough. That's when this thing's going to be worth its money. As the fish get real lethargic, it's so hot. You know, the water's in the mid-80s, upper 80s. You've really got to stick a piece of bait in front of their face. And without it, you ain't gonna be able to do that.
Folks, we're visiting with my buddy guide Seth Vanover. Seth and I have fished together and had lots of fun, hunted together, and we're talking about the live scope. This is cutting edge stuff right here that Seth has got in his boat. Seth, it's no doubt it's already beginning to revolutionize the way people fish now. Here's a question. Say you're a sand bass fisherman, you know, and I know you concentrate on the largemouth and mostly crappie lately, and you know, but say you want to catch white bass, sand bass, and you know where there's some good humps that they usually feed on. How useful is this for something like that, for open water schooling fish?
It's more of a locator, just as anything else. But it's a live locator, you know, and I like the side imaging. I had a guy tell me, and it makes sense, when you're using side imaging or 2D sonar or anything like that, you're fishing in the past. You're fishing history versus fishing this thing. If you're fishing live, you know. And once you find a school of sandies, and they're all over Fork right now, you can throw an Oreo cookie out there and catch them. It helps find them. That's all.
Okay.
Now, do you see your bait, you know, falling down and one's come up and swipe at it? Yeah, you could do that. I haven't done it yet. I'll just find a school and I'll back off of them 30 or 50 feet and we'll cast the crappie jigs out there and just smack them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah. I can see striper fishermen, I can see people really putting it to use. You know, It's kind of wild. I remember back 25 years ago, I used to do a lot of offshore fishing out of Freeport. I mean, we'd go out on two-day fishing trips, bottom fishing for grouper and snapper and, you know, mostly bottom fishing. But I can remember the old sonar some of those captains used. And literally, if you watch some of the old TV shows, you'll hear that bloop, That's that sound of the sonar bouncing off the bottom.
Yep.
I can remember sitting in the cabin with Captain Elliott, was a good friend of mine, and he was an old salt from way back. I can remember sitting in the cabin with him when it was a party boat, and there'd probably be 25 people fishing, and he'd have three or four deck cans. He'd sit up there, and that's the bounce of that sonar coming off the bottom, you know. I'd say, well, Captain, now tell me exactly what you're listening for. He said, there's a sound when we get over a hard bottom. He said, I know what that sound is like. I mean, those days are archaic compared to people that's and things like Loran Sea. Many people never even heard the term, but that's how they navigated 25 years ago out on the open water, the Gulf, and, you know, all salt water. Wow, it's the times, they are a-changing, buddy.
Well, what's spooky is what's it going to be like in 5 years?
Yeah, because of it took us 25 years to get to live scope, but, you know, the things are progressing so fast that, like you say, 5 years from now, Seth, wow. Well, we're about out of time. I want to brag on the Minnebucket a little bit, Seth. That's Tony and crew down there. I want to make sure everybody knows, folks, you can go to our radio website, catfishradio.org, download a little coupon, or you could probably take your phone in to Tony and them, pull up the coupon. But it's $50 for the room, Seth, from Sunday night through, I think, Thursday nights. Yeah, 50, yeah. It's a pretty good deal, and just want to remind everybody about that. If you need a room down there, I mean, 50 bucks, that's... I don't think you're going to get a better deal than that. Seth, hook everybody up with you, buddy. The people that might want to be listening, they want to get out there and catch some crappie and see that live scope in action. How do they contact you?
At my website, lakeforkcatandcrappie.com. Same name on Facebook. You can go there and search it, see what all we've been doing here lately. Or give me a call, 903-736-4557.
Well, thank you, buddy, and I hope to get down there in the next couple of weeks and catch a crappie and see that live scope in action.
And the catfish.
Oh, yes, catfish time, you bet. Talk to you soon, Seth.
Thanks, bud.
Folks, I always enjoy having Seth on. He's a storehouse of knowledge on fishing, and especially the modern-day fishing. How about this live scope? You know, I have yet to be in a boat and use this thing, but... the way I picture it, you know, it's almost like a television in real time. You look at the scope, and there's a little grid there that tells you exactly how far out from a portion of the boat that you might be setting in and how far down to the fish that you're targeting. So, gosh, it's amazing how sonar electronics has changed through the years. I remember back, people that might be 40 years or older might remember the old flashing units, the flashers. And all they did is just marked fish that they'd show you the bottom, okay, but they'd also mark any kind of fish up. And some of the old-timers that fished with those flashing units could actually, I fished with some guys up at Texoma that could tell you pretty close, they were always pretty much spot on the size of fish that they marked on those flashers. They used them so much, they'd look at the width of the little line that flasher made, and say, oh, that's a big striper, that's a little one. Kind of interesting. But just think about how things will change from now in the next, say, 5 or 10 years, the way technology is advancing. I kind of like to wonder what's down under that boat a little bit, but I guess I'm old school with that. Folks, I have enjoyed today's show immensely, and I hope all of you have a safe and fun week in the outdoors. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.